One philosopher says, there is no predetermined absolute truth. We must obey without question. Rather, we co-create all philosophy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. This is the proposition of one philosopher. One philosopher says there is no predetermined absolute truth. We must obey without question. There's no predetermined absolute truth. We must obey without question. Rather, we co-create all philosophy. This is a very, very fascinating concept. All time is now, as science likes to tell us, and this is something that philosophers have told science long before science have confirmed it for themselves. All space is right here. We look at the illusions of the universe, we look at the illusions of the world around us, and they're constantly changing. We have come to the categorical conclusion that anything which is real is unchangeable. That which is real has no other definition to itself other than what it is at the moment that you see it, and you always see it exactly the same. It is and is. So when a philosopher says that there is no predetermined absolute truth, we must obey without question, rather we are co-creators of all philosophy, he has missed a point from what all philosophers have pretty much agreed upon. What he doesn't like is predestination. What he doesn't like is fate. What he doesn't like are things that are determined for him in his life, and he will not accept that. And I say bully for you. As a human being, you have the perfect right to create in any way you like, any experience you like, any lifetime you like, any activity you like in your lifetime. There's nothing that's predetermined. However, that is the relative. In absolute, all is, and you do not have any opportunity to determine anything. You reveal that which is. You reveal that which already exists. You are not creating something which did not exist before you created it. We have the grandiose idea about ourselves that we can create things that has never been done before. And yet you take music, which is such a diverse, wonderful medium. The snowflakes, they say, have no duplicate. Every snowflake is unique. And science has since refuted that. And perhaps they will refute it, but they had only a few illustrations.
Who was that?
A few illustrations. Science has refuted the idea that all snowflakes are exactly alike, but they have only a few illustrations to point out that there are other snowflakes. Now, all it takes is one exception to destroy a rule. It only takes one exception to create a new rule. However, if the scientists were able to infinitesimally look at a snowflake before it had a chance to disintegrate in even the smallest amount, or if every snowflake entered this atmosphere in the same manner, if every snowflake entered this atmosphere with the same wind current, with the same gravity, you might say, with the same weight, with the same water constituency that with the minerals in the water. Because the water in the sky is not pure. The water in the sky is not absolute H2O. It is mixed with all of the impurities that water has in the sky. Because as the water comes down through the atmosphere, all the dust and dirt and miscellanea that is there combine with the water, and the water therefore is not an absolute pure substance. Now I would say, perhaps all the snowflakes made out of absolutely pure water would be the same. But snowflakes are not made out of absolutely pure water. They are made out of the diversity of water. Okay. From the absolute point of view, every snowflake is exactly the same. Every snowflake has the same fundamental foundation to it. Every snowflake has the same organizing pattern that gives it its shape, its form, its dimension, its weight, and all of it is the same. Now, we find that very interesting and a possibility, but is it what is really happening? Is it what is really happening? Are we really aware of all the possibilities that water can have in forming a snowflake? And then again, we must say, when all activities of the universe are equal, then perhaps it could be. Because is the heat of the air the same? Is the mixture of the cloud the same? Is the wind, the weather, the rain, all these things the same? And we all know that it is not. And to have it be exactly the same would be a travesty to humanity. Because humanity wants unity in diversity. Absolute wants unity in oneness. Absolute wants unity in oneness. Doesn't want it, it's the way it is. And humanity wants unity in diversity. The very concept is an anathema to the words that are used to describe it. The very concept is completely improbable for the development of the words that all things are the same. It cannot be that way. It cannot even begin to be that way. Now, think about these things. There is a predetermined truth that we all must live by without questioning it. This is what many philosophers want to project to us. And these are the humanistic philosophers. Now, when you have absolute philosophers, these are philosophers who deal with the concept of absolute, the concept that there is only one, and this one is all, and this all is everywhere, consistently the same in every space and time, which is all in the space and time which we have right here. Now, how are we going to live in that space and time? How are we going to be aware of that space and time? How are we going? There is no space and time. Because even our relative philosophers are coming up with the concept that there is no space and time, and there is no there is no activity whatsoever. And when we hear the telephone ring and we say that we are in the middle of giving a lecture on the absolute and to call back in about 30 minutes, you certainly would respond to that. The absolute is a wonderful concept to think about. Now, how do we think about the absolute? How do we think about what absolute is? Absolute is something absolutely marvelous. Because what absolute is, it has no relative points to it. You see, an absolute philosopher is no philosopher at all. Because he doesn't philosophize about anything. He merely recognizes that which is. And recognizing that which is, he points out in his consciousness that that is what it is, and there is nothing else other than that. And so this is where we want to stand. This is where we want to stand in our consciousness, that there is nothing else but the is. Now, you say, well, I don't want to be in the absolute right now. I still want to be in the relative. And I say, well, then, if you are, do not pretend that you do want to be in the absolute. Because, you see, when you proclaim, I am absolute, I am absolute, I am absolute, I am absolute, pretty soon your consciousness is going to claim the idea that you are absolute, and everything unlike whatever absolute is will be gone from your thinking. And you say, boy, that'd be great, that'd be great. Well, I would like you to think that it would be great, but just remember, I described to you absolute healing. And absolute healing is a very ugly thing to take place in anyone's life. Because in absolute healing, you never remember that you were ill. You never remember that you had a problem. The doctors don't know you had a problem. The nurses don't know it. Your mother and father and family don't know that you had a problem. Nobody knows that you were almost dead of cancer when you have an absolute spiritual healing. Because all that is erased from your consciousness as you return to your original purity and integrity. So when you start saying, I would love to be in the absolute consciousness, I would love to be in the allness, I would love to be living in the divine oneness, the divine isness, then remember, the relative games will cease. And you will remember them no longer. You will not desire or anticipate them because they will no longer be in your consciousness. Once you enter into the absolute concept, everything unlike the absolute is no longer in your consciousness, no longer in your awareness. It's just like once you know that you are a perfect, magnificent musician, you can never go back to making mistakes. You can never go back to being a musician who has flaws. This is very important. It's very important for us to remember. And you're going to be running across people who come up with this statement. One philosopher says there is no predetermined absolute truth we must obey without question. Rather, we co-create all philosophy. You've probably heard many New Thought ministers and teachers, as well as the fundamental teachers, saying that we are co-creators with God, saying that we are co-creators of the universe with the allness of the universe. Well, that is an anathema to the truth. That is contrary to the truth, because there can only be one creator. There can only be one creator of all that exists, and that can only be whatever that one creator is, what we want to call it, God, the isness, the absolute, the principle, whatever we want to call it. And if we are aware of it, then we are no longer a co-creator, we are the absolute creator. We leave behind the thoughts that we are causing something to be. And we are one as the all. And as one as the all, we live an utterly fantastic life. We live an utterly amazing experience. Think about these things. Think about these things. Now, you've been listening to this music in the background. And this music is rather gay and light and moving in a charming way. And you think, well, now that has nothing to do with absolute. It is just a little something to divert your attention if you want to be diverted. If you want to live in absolute, if you want to live in a spiritually healed body, remember, you will no longer remember anything, but this gentle music will be yours. It'll sing in your heart as a wonderful tribute to your absolute divinity. You're wonderful, and I love you very much. And I see each one of you experiencing the allness, the absolute that you are right now, and enjoying it thoroughly. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.